fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome to Common Sense Radio, coming to you from the Surface Guard Studios. That's right, it's Thursday night, and you're right where you should be in front of your radio to get through all the fake news and whatever nonsense that you are hearing on social media and wherever else, and get to the real nub of the issues and understand what's really going on. And we're proud to be broadcasting from the Surface Guard Studios. That's right. And these times when you need to be worried about viruses, bacteria, microbes, don't just clean them, kill them. Get Surface Guard on all your surfaces. It doesn't just clean, it kills those microbes and viruses on contact. Go give a call to No Steam Carpet Clean at 610-3349. David will be glad to give you an estimate and help you prepare your place of business or home, make it safe for you and your employees, and reassure those customers. Surface Guard Studios, we are here. And as always, we're here. We're crisp, we're clear. We're coming to you across FMTalk1065.com, streaming, or you can get us on TuneIn Radio, or you can just get us the old-fashioned way on an old truck radio, if you still have an old truck. But how is this all possible? Who orchestrates all this? Who brings you sanitized electrons that will not spontaneously combust on their way to your listening pleasure? Who is that who ensures your safety every week for your listening pleasure so you can listen with confidence? That is our award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate that.
Hey, flip all of the switches here. All right.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah, that's me.
That's
all right.
You right there.
Right
there
here. Right now. Thank you.
As always, right there.
That. Yeah.
So don't let no spontaneous combustion of any electrons in here. Okay, let's be careful about that. And we have also in the studio the Director of Quality Assurance, Head of the Research Department, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice gal, Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor.
Great to be here, Pete.
Always good to have you. Always good to have a crew in studio in a semi-social distancing sort of stance.
Glad that we're not having to do that as much anymore.
Well, at least we don't have to do the extreme.
The extreme one.
Yeah. It was tough to travel 600 miles to that bunker every Thursday night.
How bunkers, by the way, folks? I've never got a chance to ask how comfortable
you were. Yeah, you were comfy in this
studio all the time.
Well, mine was cold and damp.
You were in a cold, damp bunker.
Cold,
you
damp
had a comfortable bunker,
I had a great
Teresa.
One, but,
all
you know,
right.
It's good to be
in the
real place.
We're glad to be together. It's much better. Okay, there's lots of news out there, and we're going to try to get to all of it. The first report I want to make sure we get out is on Monday, Joe Biden emerged from his basement.
He did.
To place a wreath at the War Memorial for the state of Delaware. So for the first time in months, he has emerged from his basement, and he saw his shadow.
So
that means there will be six more months of chaotic campaigns and stupid quotes. Six more months.
Okay.
Biden saw a shadow. And upon seeing his shadow, he scurried back into his burrow. I mean his basement.
To make a ridiculous statement.
To make more ridiculous statements.
Yeah, right.
But we'll let more you get that on radio, other programs, because there's just too many. We only have an hour. We can't go through all of those. So you get those on YouTube or social media or wherever.
And Twitter will fact check it for you.
And Twitter will fact check it for you to let you know if it was stupid or not. Isn't that good to know that somebody at Twitter can tell you if what you have said or tweeted is stupid or not?
You're right, yeah.
So, and
I
actually,
don't know what I would have done.
That's one of the big stories. Well, I think it's kind of a big story.
It is.
So, you know, social media is bizarre in its own right, with, you know, the way people are on there. And we know that, you know, Facebook has been coming out and fact checking us or sending little warnings. This content is deemed to be false or whatever. And
unacceptable.
Have you been put in Facebook jail?
You know what? I've never been put in Facebook jail. I've never even received a warning.
That's amazing.
I know. Yeah. That's why I'm like, I know all these other people. And I'm like, and I'm pretty vocal. I'm like, I've never. I must be your like algorithms. A person of interest. They can't see me or something, right?
You got the right algorithm.
I must have something in my algorithms. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mom. I appreciate the algorithms. I don't know. I've never been. But so Facebook has been doing it for a while, and now all of a sudden Twitter says we're going to fact check, and they're trying to fact check the president. And the problem is, you know, facts are not always agreed upon, and then a lot of and most of the tweets are mostly opinion anyway.
Well, and here's the thing, and I don't remember who said it. Somebody let me know. You are entitled to your own opinion. You are not entitled to your own facts.
Yeah.
So, but you know.
But the problem is we can't even agree on the facts.
Well, that's it. That's
true. I mean, that's where we've gotten. We can't even agree on the facts, and people put out false premises. Well, and that, I mean, that's a favorite Democrat thing. They would put a false premise out like Trump is a Russian stooge. What? Yeah. And they want you to debate
that. And here the thing is that we do have evidence because of algorithms and such that it does affect elections. I think this executive order and this stuff that will be unraveled, it is a lot to wade through. I looked through a lot of the bullet points. And I'll admit, it's a little hard to understand it all fully, like what it's going to mean. But at some point, we'll have to determine what's more like a utility and what's more like just something a private business runs and we enjoy. Yeah. So, and it's cloudy in a way.
It is very cloudy. So, so if, for those of you that are trying to catch up with all this, Trump tweeted, I don't even know the tweets, and apparently Twitter did some fact-checking, and I guess they said, well, this is not exactly true or whatever. And the president went, wait a minute, that's what I believe. That's what I think. That's more of an opinion. Anyway, so there's a dispute. And so people understand the social media has been treated as a private business. And as a private business, they can do whatever they want.
Sure.
It's their platform. It's what they want. It's like a restaurant can deny service. Now, they can't do it. On an equal opportunity thing, you can't discriminate against on race or age or disability or anything like that.
Or gender.
Right. So there's equality laws that you have. But as long as you abide by those and it's private, you can say, no, you can't play on my thing anymore. You can't come in my restaurant. You can't tweet on my Twitter, whatever it is. Because they're a private business. Yeah. And they said that. They are only a forum, a private forum, which I get that concept, and I'm good with that concept.
Yeah.
And actually, if they would just leave it alone,
It
would be fine.
Yeah.
We're smart enough to figure out and fact check ourselves.
Let those of us who sit down and digest this on a daily basis, whether you agree or disagree, whoever is, you know, you can be liberal, you can be conservative, you can be down the middle, you can be whatever you want to be, but let those of us that are involved in it on a daily basis dissect it and say—
And decide.
Yeah, you know.
That's where the debate comes.
Exactly.
So the liberals are on there retweeting CNN and saying this is gospel, and the conservatives are on there retweeting Fox News and saying this is gospel. Fine. Let them hash it out.
Don't let the forum, see the air quotes, determine— What's true, what's not true, what's acceptable, what's and not acceptable.
Because who the heck are they?
Well, exactly.
That's it. Are these media platforms infringing protected speech? And I think most of us would say, well, yeah, I've been in Facebook jail. I share something. It gets two likes. If it's political, then I mean, we've all seen that, you know.
But here's I'm sure I've
here's
been
the thing. The First Amendment to which you make reference is the a protection for us from government intrusion, not from private business intrusion.
Right. Yeah.
Until and unless and until it's determined that they're not necessarily a private business, but a regulated or should be regulated utility.
Utility.
Correct.
And that's where we're coming up to right about now.
And there's
now.
Another aspect that I don't fully understand, and they said this is part of, I guess the executive order declared that they were publishers. That they were not just a private forum where, hey, you could go chat.
Well, that's true.
And somehow in that changed the law. So, which means, and now here's the crux of what the order says, is that because right now they can do whatever they want. They can censor you. You have nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But according to my, and this is my understanding, so if somebody knows better, text it in. tell me, my understanding is that you can't protest or you have no recourse against Twitter right now.
Right.
But with the executive order, you do now. You can say, wait a minute, you have infringed on my First Amendment rights because you have deleted my tweet or you have suspended my account, that now you have recourse against them.
Mm.
Now, and here's where I wanted to throw that out. To me, that part makes sense to me to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I kind of cringe that I don't think that should be an executive order. That sounds more like a law.
Yeah.
You know, that really should be something that Congress should, if it's necessary, that Congress should do it, not the president.
Yeah, generally speaking, my hackles raise when executive orders from anybody, any president, become, because that sounds too dictatorial.
I mean, and
they don't have that power, any president.
And I know
some
of
those, have that much power.
Some of the listeners that think that I'm in a Trump cult and I just sit here and go, yes, Mr. Trump, whatever you want. Telling you, when I heard first that there was an executive order about social media, my hackles went up too. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't even know what it was, but I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Well,
what
it did
is
just kind of really get broke today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And I've been trying to break it down, and it's complicated. So. I think a little time will help us come up with a good opinion.
More research.
But yeah,
or maybe
it's
very
a great
wise
topic.
Listeners who text in and call and can help.
Yes, I would love to hear.
So give us a call or text at 251-343-0106. We'll be right back in the Surface Guard Studios.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, coming to you from the Surface Guard Studios. Don't forget, don't just clean those microbes, germs, and viruses, and all those bacteria. Kill them. Get Surface Guard. Give No Steam Carpet Clean a call at 610-3349. Okay, we ended out on the Trump executive order on the last segment, and it got no response. So I guess people aren't worried about their liberty or abuse of power.
Too new.
I think it might be too new. It's kind of, I'm a little fascinated by it. I mean, I think something needs to happen with social media because they clearly have a bias.
Yes.
Against conservative thought. I mean, look at, what was one of the best examples on YouTube? Remember those two doctors in California who put out that hour-long YouTube about their actual experiences and their thoughts, what's going on in California and how to do all this. And YouTube pulled it.
Yeah.
Said, you're not conforming to pandemic orthodoxy by Dr. Fauci.
Right.
I was like.
And who is YouTube owned by?
Isn't that Amazon?
Google.
Oh, Google. That's right. Google. Mm-hmm. They own. Yeah, I know. Google owns YouTube. They own something else. They own something else.
They own
a lot of something else.
All of it.
Like almost all of it.
Just all of it.
Which is why, again, I come back to, you know, have we reached a public utility level with social media platforms?
Search engines. The same thing. Because you can't have too much. It's monopolies. You can't have too much power concentrated. It doesn't matter if it's government or private industry.
Right.
You can't have a monopoly on everything.
And that's, you know, that's where the Sherman Antitrust Act came in. That's why government looks at, you know, mergers and acquisitions, and they say, no, you can't do that.
And believe it or not, I actually have experience with that. I can't talk about it, but I was actually in contact with the Department of Justice today about some mergers of some big companies that happens to do with something that I'm on that nobody really wants to care about. Never mind.
But
nobody cares because I can't tell you.
But they do look at it. Yeah.
They do look at mergers and stuff, and they come. And I thought it was pretty interesting that they actually had the wherewithal to come find us in Mobile and ask us, because it did affect us.
Yeah.
And we had an input. Mm-hmm. And it's actually going our way. I guess I can't tell the whole thing, but I will tell you that what has happened, what we were concerned about, the merger may happen, but they have to divest of all the South Alabama holdings have to be divested. Cannot go with this merger.
Right.
So they're looking at stuff like that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I lived through it with radio acquisition. Yeah. You know, you can have this many radio stations, but this one you got to get rid of.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we can't encompass
or
the entire
somebody
group.
Just or, James from Florida just texted in, and they removed all of Alex Jones' accounts for no reason. I mean, I'm not necessarily an Alex Jones fan, but you know.
Well, it's
and it's the same. I'm not a Don Lemon fan either, but he can
not,
have an account.
He's not getting
they both
removed.
Should have the right,
right.
to you know,
right.
make their opinions known.
Right, and people can decide. See, that's the whole thing.
That's the whole
we
thing.
Can
we can decide.
Candace Owens
I don't
was bought.
Need you
at
in
the time,
government.
She was trying to promote her book. So, like,
Candace Owens.
Yes.
So, you know, that's a real economic.
No,
I mean, it's just,
it
really
economic.
Is like Hank taking her millstone, in a sense.
That's right. It they really we pulled her account when her book came out.
Right.
Yeah. We that's don't economic like, damage.
We don't like correct. The government picking winners and losers. And we don't like a megalopolis, a monopoly,
yes.
doing the same thing.
Right.
We don't like that. That's anti-American. That is all that is.
Right. And so
we're individuals with the right to think and speak the way we want to.
Absolutely.
Whether anybody else agrees with us or not.
Yeah.
Right. No. And look, and if you're nuts, people don't listen to you.
Yeah.
You're by yourself, right? You don't get retweeted like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
yeah, that guy's crazy.
He's crazy. Don't retweet
There's
him.
There's a lot of issues around the whole thing, and it does need to be heavily weighed on all sides.
Something needs to be done, but look, we can at least applaud President Trump for opening up the issue.
Yeah.
Well, and protecting the ballot box, I think, is the catalyst that probably.
Yeah, we're kind of taking this out of order, but,
but
that is.
Related.
I've got it on my list. It is related. So
I'm
glad
you
brought it up.
We don't get to see
your list.
The
list. I don't forget the list. You're hitting stuff on my list, and it's kind of. But it's a good time to bring it up because this also goes into. The ballot box and the mail-in stuff.
Right.
Folks, if you don't think – and I saw something today. Oh, and James also said Diamond and Silk have been censored. And
that's
wrong.
Correct. Yeah.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
Because they're Trump supporters. No other reason.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Or somebody could say it's because they're black ladies.
Well,
is that why?
Is that why?
Oh, no.
Twitter?
No, it's because they're a Trump supporter.
Exactly.
So look, something about that, being black doesn't, if you're a Trump supporter, being black doesn't help.
Well, you know what Uncle Joe said.
If you
can't decide between me and Trump, you ain't black.
You ain't black.
That was unbelievable.
Okay.
We're jumping too
Thank
much.
Thank you, Uncle
I guess
Joe.
We either need to jump or go jump back.
We're jumping.
Be the leader, Pete. Where should we go?
Well, get us back on track.
Yes.
Since you brought that one up, let's go ahead and address. Well, no, we're not going to address that because that's coming back. Let's go back to the, what did you hit me with?
Ballot box.
So, folks, if you don't think the ballot box is all about theft, I saw a poll somewhere, published poll, said 67% of Americans support mail-in voting. I was like, no way. There's no way possible that's possible. But let's take it on its face value. I hope people understand the problem with mail-in voting. When you go to vote, you notice you check in, you show your ID, right?
In most cases,
and they check off, you're this guy.
Right.
And they give you a ballot, and guess what you do? You sign for the ballot.
Right.
And they only give it to you.
And there's a number on it.
There's a number on it, and it's in your custody, and because it's your vote. It's your sacred right, and you go vote on it. And guess who puts it in the machine?
You do.
You do.
Right.
So you have a chain of custody until it goes in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
You have none of that with mail-in voting.
No.
None of that. Now, some of you will say, oh, but we have absentee voting, and you can do – Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's also ripe with fraud, too. You got to really watch it. But there's a difference.
Which is, go ahead.
The difference is you have to send a request in that I am who I say I am, and I want you to send my ballot to this address.
Yes.
You have to specifically request it for you, the voter.
Right.
They don't just spray them all over. Because, I mean, there's reports all over some places that done the mail-in where, you know, they're getting ballots are being delivered to all these places. People haven't lived there in 10 years. You know, apartment complexes are reporting, you know, they got stacks of ballots. And the Democrats are going, don't worry,
resident.
We'll pick them up.
I still have mail from a previous resident coming to my house.
Yes.
And not just junk mail. Sometimes it's important mail.
Right.
The only thing I can do is put it back and not at this address because I don't know where the people live.
Because how long you've been living there?
12, 15 years.
12, 15 years, and you're still getting mail.
I'm still getting their mail. Yeah.
So you
on occasion,
but you can't have. I mean, how can a chain of custody for a ballot be so important at the polling place, but it's not in the mail?
Yeah. And here's another thing, and I don't know if it's true in every locale with absentee ballots. They are held until all the other ballots are counted.
Right.
Yeah. And are not opened and not not counted for the results. They're all counted. Okay. So folks don't blow me up.
They will be counted.
It's almost like unless they're needed.
But they're not counted unless we have enough absentee ballots here.
Right.
That'll throw
make
a difference.
Exactly. Correct. So the ballot thing. Trust me.
We all know what it's really about.
It's about stealing the election.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about harvesting ballots and votes. It's all
it
is.
Kind
don't
of
fall
embarrassing
for it.
That they keep trying to make
yeah,
it
but
sound
you
like
need,
anything
but we
else.
Need to stand strong and let our Republican representative know to stand strong because they're kind of wobbly a lot of times.
Sometimes they are. And if we don't tell them how we feel, they sometimes
they
don't
can be
know.
Influenced.
Right, right.
Yes.
No, can't do it. Can't do that. All right. So we took something off the bottom of the list, but
we got more
to
come.
We can go right back
up. We got lots more to come. We will be right back with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, coming to you from the Surface Guard Studios. At the bottom of the hour, bring aboard a special sponsor, ABC Signs and Shirts, who bring wit and wisdom from our 40th president. Now, ABC Signs and Shirts, that's your headquarters for custom-made shirts, custom-made signs. Whatever you need, go there. Go see them at abcshirts.biz or abcsigns.biz. That's B-I-Z. And they can do custom-made shirts, one or a million. They can make banners. They can make signs, promotions, anything you want. They can help your business as you reopen. Go check them out. And here they are with wisdom from Ronald Wilson Reagan.
I'm sensitive to the unique and sometimes difficult position in which you often find yourselves as black Republicans. What you're doing takes great vision and true courage. Under the superb leadership of individuals like your chairperson, LaGree Daniels, black Republicans have been performing above and beyond the call of duty. The rest of us in the GOP are grateful for your commitment and deeply impressed by your tenacity. For too long now, black Americans seem to have been written off by one party and taken for granted by the other. And for the vast majority of black Americans, that's been a strictly no-win situation. Changing it will require a commitment from all of us. So tonight, I want you to know that the Republican Party stands ready and willing to reach out to black Americans.
Was the 15th of September, 1982, and that was President Reagan giving remarks at the National Black Republican Council dinner. And I picked all that before the events in Minnesota, and it goes with this week's column, which is Biden exposes more than Democrat racism.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes into what y'all try to get me off track before the thing with the thing. And for those of you who don't know, Joe Biden went on this podcast and, you know, they're asking some pointed questions. But he rambles and rambles. And so he actually, and I read the transcript, he actually didn't answer anything. He just kept saying, I've got a record. I've got a 40-year record. And said stuff like, the NAACP has endorsed me every time I've run. And, of course, the NAACP came out and said, well, actually, we're a nonpartisan organization, and we've never endorsed
anybody.
But okay, so that was a little stretch. But anyway, so he's got to go. Biden has to leave, and so somebody's coming in and saying, "Sir, we got to go. We got to go to the next thing." And that guy, oh, but we have, you know. So the host says, "Look, we want to have you back. It's a long time between now and November. So we want to have you back because we got more questions. And this is when Biden throws this. He snaps back and says, well, you might have more questions, but I'll tell you, if you can't tell if you're for me or Trump, you ain't black.
And he said it just like that. I mean, yeah, it sounded, right. You even got the accent, like, pretty well. His little fake accent. Yeah.
You ain't black. What? If you can't.
The show hosts were going, what? What did he say? Did he say that?
Did he just say that to me?
Yeah.
And he's a black dude going, wait a minute. What, you just told me I ain't black?
He kind of just kept going because I think it was so shocking.
Well, it was one of those things. I would have done
like
the
you,
same thing.
Yeah, you kind of just had to roll
over
it.
Go back later and go,
what?
What did he say?
Wait, what?
Because it was right at the end.
It was a perfect wait what moment.
Yes. Wait, what?
What?
So.
It was like the shot heard around the world, too. I mean, it went viral fast.
So, oh, yeah. And he's actually really upset a lot of the black community, including Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A lot of Democrats, even James Clyburn in South Carolina said, I cringed. he said it.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty big admission for them to say. But then he went, oh, but he's still a better choice than Trump, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. But the reason I picked this, and then I guess we'll get to Minnesota as well, and what I wrote about is, on one hand, there is some racism in it, because it was like, so what are you saying? Say, are you saying that you, as a lowly radio host, can't question me, the mighty Democrat politician? Or is it because you're black, you can't question me? Because if you're black, you have to be a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's true. Basically, what, 90% of the black community is Democrat?
Large majority.
Well, it has been. Maybe not anymore.
Yeah, well.
Maybe not anymore. It's been a large majority. But this is about ideas. I mean, that is inherently racist to say if you're black, you must be a Democrat. You must be a socialist. You must embrace liberal, real liberal policies, liberalism, whatever else. And if you don't, you're not black. What?
Yeah.
So there's a racism there, and there's also a certain amount of oppression in that, well, you're not allowed to have your own thoughts, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what
he was
saying.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, and that's what they've been actually telling that whole community for many years, and thank goodness for people like Candace Owens. She says, I'm glad he said it because he just put it out in the open.
No, he exposed it.
I mean, really.
But now my column took it a step further in that, yes, there are certainly – I mean, do I think that Joe Biden hates black people? No.
No.
Does he maybe think they're inferior?
Maybe.
Well, remember
Does he absolutely think they need to toe the line, the Democrat Party line, without question?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, definitely on that. So there's definite racist overtones. But the step I took for it further, that's actually what they have for all of us.
Oh, yes.
Not just them.
Right.
None of us are supposed to question the Democrat Party and their policies. And if they tell us there's a Russian collusion, there's Russian collusion.
Right.
If they tell us there was a Ukrainian collusion, there's Ukrainian. Whatever. We're supposed to.
No matter what it is,
It's for our safety.
That's right. Yes. If you need to wear
a mask, don't question.
Everything, you're not supposed to question them.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's where I went, is that he exposed it's not just about blacks. This is what they want for – it's control.
Yeah.
The ultimate goal is control, is that you will just say, yeah, that's good. Whatever the Democrat Party and the mainstream media says, yes.
Yeah.
It's okay. So that's kind of where I went with that. And you can get Biden exposes more than Democrat racism at BamaNewsNow.com. It's posted up there. Or you can get it at the Call News, Tri-City Ledger, Washington County News, The Post in Cherokee County is now the Herald.
Okay.
But hey.
All right.
The Cherokee Herald it is, actually. So you can get it in a bunch of places. Check it out. So this also then ties into this incredible thing, this awful thing in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
in Minneapolis, where, when did this happen? Was it two days ago?
A
couple of days.
Yeah.
About 2 days,
hasn't
I guess.
Hasn't been long.
Hasn't been long. I can't remember exactly when it was.
I think it was Tuesday.
Maybe Tuesday. Okay. So when it first broke, I'm like, what the heck? And I'm going to admit, at first I'm like, I'm not going to look at anything. I'm going to wait and see. Because, you know, a lot of times the first report is totally wrong.
Yeah.
Totally wrong. So you got to wait till some more stuff comes out because somebody else comes out with other video a day or two later and this and that. And I'm predisposed because the cops have to deal with a lot on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
So I'm always predisposed to give the cops a lot of latitude because they have a very hard job, and the vast majority of them are really good people doing a really hard job.
Yep.
I don't see any way to explain this thing. So I finally today said, all right, let me go look at the video. And then another video has surfaced since. Mm-hmm. But this one didn't like show that there was some huge melee and it took, you know, a dozen cops to wrestle this guy to the ground. No, it showed him walking the guy over to the side of the sidewalk. He's already handcuffed and having him sit down and wait there. And then like a couple minutes later, he's on the and they don't show. I don't see how
that
happens.
You don't see the transition. What goes in between. And we don't know.
That's true.
And all of a sudden, this guy who was subdued sitting on the sidewalk handcuffed is now on the street with his face on the street. And the cop has got his knee on it on his neck. And it's like, what the heck happened? It's unconscionable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see anybody justifying it or trying to say, hey, that was okay.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Everyone was actually pretty united about.
Yeah. No,
I mean, honestly, this was
not
one of the cases where, well, the cops did their job. I'm sure somebody somewhere said it. But
the cops have been fired.
Right.
And the riots are still happening.
That's the problem. Where it gets in. Okay, now the riots
and
go
bad.
So really looting and burning down your neighborhood is the right way to protest this?
Yeah.
I mean, they're burning down. I saw their housing. It was like a brand new housing project, like a condominium. It was a big building. It wasn't finished yet, but almost finished. It's gone now. Yeah. Burnt that to the ground. Target, the auto zones, they were – I mean, it just
– But you know it's not getting reported? There were counter protests. There were people from the neighborhood saying, don't stop burning our neighborhood. Stop the looting. This is our neighborhood. This is where we live. So that makes you wonder. So who are the people that actually came in?
Mm-hmm.
Who actually came in and started this? I would really love to see some like
the
Project Veritas investigation.
Black Lives Matter is back and alive and well. You know, they've gotten kind of quiet.
Is it them or
well, they're
did
involved
Antifa
now.
See the
I
thing
don't know.
And they show up and say, oh, we can burn stuff.
Yeah.
So it may not even be.
We don't know.
You don't know. But it's a question.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But anytime you see white kids burning flags. It's not just spontaneous when it comes from a so-called protest from the black community.
Right.
It's just not all adding up, I think is what we're
all
trying to say.
Up. It's not just the community.
And we got to remember, if you were trying to create more chaos in America.
That's the way to do it.
How might it look?
Now, I'll throw this out, and this is going to be extremely controversial. I know everybody wants to go, hey, look, the white cops did this to a black man, it's racism. I'm not sure it's racism. That might have happened to a white guy. And what I'm saying is, if this guy was white and this happened, we would not know about it.
Yeah.
And I would be willing to bet these things have happened around the country. And because it's a white cop on a white guy or a black cop on a white, we don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it didn't look like they were really just singling the guy out because he was black. They were just manhandling for whatever reason. I don't know. And I'm not saying it's not racism or there's not racist overtones. But I don't know for sure that it's just bad policing, bad cops.
Yeah.
Well.
And they would have done it to any. This was going to happen to whoever
possible.
That guy was.
Yeah.
And this is only serving to divide us because nobody's justifying it. Now, I will tell you one. Mm-hmm. I know we're on the break.
Mm-hmm.
You know one interesting thing?
Yeah.
This cop has a history.
Yes.
He's faced allegations and charges before. Well, he didn't face charges, allegations.
Yeah.
Do you know who declined to press charges against this guy?
I'm very curious.
You might know her name as Amy Klobuchar, the former district attorney for that Hennigan County in Minneapolis.
Mm.
Years ago, this guy has a history, declined to press charges against that guy.
Huh.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Give us a text or a call at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, coming to you from the Surface Guard Studios. So, and I'm surprised we have no calls or texts about the Minnesota thing. I thought that would light us up, but that's okay. We can carry on without you. You just listen, we'll have it. But we were getting into it, and you know, nobody is trying to justify what those guys did. Those guys are, in all likelihood, facing charges, and that's probably justified that they face whatever charges are appropriate for what they've done, because it's totally uncalled for, mishandling, and then obviously it looks like it may even be all the way up to murder. Mm-hmm. But now everybody's running around screaming, racism, racism, racism. And we don't know for sure if that's a component or not, but here's the question. For those of you who are screaming, this is because of Trump, or this is his rhetoric, like Maxine Waters
did. Yeah, sure.
This happened in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Minneapolis is like progressive paradise.
Right.
You probably can't find a Republican in Minneapolis.
Not many.
It's very hard to find a conservative in Minneapolis.
Except the pillow guy.
But he lives
Mike
in.
Mike Lindell.
I don't think he lives in Minneapolis. He lives in the north part.
Well, is it?
He lives in Minnesota.
I don't know where either. But anyway, Minnesota, my point is the governor of Minnesota. Well, let's start with the police. Everybody in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, are rabid Democrats and socialists. Right. The mayor, the police, everybody, they're all rabid Democrats. The city council, all of their state legislators, not all of them in Minnesota, because Minnesota does have some very red parts.
Yes.
But in the Twin Cities, that's all Democrat. That's deep, deep blue. The governor is a progressive, about as progressive as you want. So how could this abominable show of racist oppression and brutality happen in socialist utopia?
Good question.
It's a great question.
Really? How did that?
Yeah. One without an immediate answer.
But right.
Things that
but
make you go.
A great thing to ponder.
No, yes. You should. People should go, well, wait a minute. This didn't happen in a red state.
Yeah.
Now, watch now, it'll happen in a red state next week because I said it, you know. I'm not saying it won't happen somewhere. But the point is, I'm not necessarily saying it's a blue state thing. Maybe it's just a thing that happened.
Yeah.
And as tragic as it is, and this will be controversial, it's very bad and tragic, but is it being sensationalized, right? Because wasn't it about a week ago that some young black guy in the Northeast beat some old woman to death?
Oh, well, since then,
right?
Since these, have you seen the woman in the wheelchair who was
assaulted.
To protect her place, I'm assuming it's her place, from the looters, and they almost kill her?
She's in a wheelchair in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Some old white woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right. But see, that's not being sensationalized. Nah. Or like I was saying, there was some poor old white woman. It was a young black guy, whatever it was, but is that being sensationalized that we ought to go after all young black men because this guy got whatever bad thing going on and he went and robbed and killed this? Do you see what I'm saying?
You can take
and focus an issue and say, oh, this is, and magnify it, right? And amplify it to everybody. Oh, this is so bad. This is systemic.
And it is.
I kind of reject it as systemic.
Yeah.
Right?
I just
because
think
nobody's
like,
jumping up and saying, well, oh, that was okay.
Not all horrible things are stem to racism.
No.
There's just murderers. There's evil. There's just, it's only been a week that Corpus Christi, the NAS, was attacked. I've talked to several friends, didn't even know it happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they confirmed the attack in December was indeed an Al-Qaeda terrorist. Okay, that's a, to me, that's a big
story. That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. There was one guy still left at large, by which I haven't heard if they caught him.
Isn't that crazy?
We but no one even knows that that happened in Corpus Christi last week.
Yeah.
Right. Last week.
Yeah.
It's
and you see how the news gets sensationalized? Because you remind me of something else. You know what shocked me? I heard something on radio. Was it today or yesterday?
I don't know.
Some tropical storm with a B name made landfall.
Yeah, yeah. And Dr. Bill kind of was
so where was the A?
Wait a minute. How did we get to the second tropical storm without all the media telling us we're going to die this year from climate change? How did that happen?
True.
Yeah, they kind of jumped the gun a little bit. Dr. Bill was a little puzzled as well about the early naming of the storm. It's like, what?
And we were on B already.
Yeah.
I didn't even know we even had one. We were in May, and all of a sudden... I just heard it real quick in the radio. And went, you mean a bee-named storm in South Carolina or somewhere? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you see how they twist the news? Because if none of this was happening, the news would have been that that bee-named storm was going to destroy the United States. And, it would, and that you would have to be wearing not face masks, but goggles.
Yes.
Underwater face mask. It's coming.
Yep.
And it's because of climate change. I don't know. Not
so maybe
to
we
make
should give our listeners some homework for next week.
Ooh,
there were
give
so
them
many
homework.
Well, we didn't get to talk about so many things.
Yes.
We didn't even mention the C word tonight.
Oh, the coronavirus?
I know.
Oh.
We didn't even get to it. But I am very interested to learn more about the, is it COVID tracing?
Oh.
And how our phones may
social
or may
tracing.
Not be. Or wait, is it social tracing?
Is that what
it's
they call
tracing,
it?
It's tracing, tracking. I get
well, they don't
up.
Call it tracking, even though it's what it is. They call it tracing because nobody wants to be tracked, but being traced is somehow going to be okay.
Oh, yeah, and we're sitting here. And somebody...
Alabama, Kay Ivey, has already signed contracts
well,
with Google.
Well, that's what I'm interested in knowing more
what?
And more.
What?
Yes. And Apple.
Their,
like,
their algorithm,
together.
Their software to...
We were the first
institute.
State.
There were like five states, Alabama one of the first.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So for our listeners, do your homework. See what you guys can research between now and next week, and we'll do it again.
Yeah. Wasn't it New York saying we need to hire 300,000 people as tracers?
Something like that.
Which is to like run after you and say, oh, we've been following you.
I've seen screenshots of it. They are hiring a ton of people.
That's
crazy. In the state of Alabama.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We're losing our liberty. But, hey, be safe out there. Enjoy the weekend, folks. And, honey, it's time to come home.